If you love the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast, if you get any joy, if we've ever done anything for you, do us a huge favor and go and give us a 5-star review on this podcast. Leave us a comment if you like, but that helps our viewership ranking. Peace. What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shaira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. We're excited to be with you, Shaira. How are you doing on this wonderful Sunday afternoon?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
On Sunday, I have my Sunday chores. You know, I do some of my cleaning and I cook. And today has been a good day because those things are done.
Yes.
We had some family time, which was nice. We tackled some yard work. We just got back from a vacation. I think everything is going well.
Yes. Well, let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about that vacation, man. I mean, what was it? How was it? Why was it? You know, let's talk about that.
Yes. So we just celebrated 15 years of marriage.
Ooh.
And we took a trip with our kids, too.
Yes, took the kids, took the kiddos.
We went to Hawaii.
Yes.
The big island.
The big island of Kalua Kona, I think it...
that's the city.
Okay, yeah. The Big Island, but that's the city.
Yeah.
Located on the west side of the Big Island.
West
Shire,
side?
Yeah. You know how we do. But no, it was great, man. It was, you know, like I said on IG, time stood still. You know, people out there just weren't in a rush, man. They just were just chilling. Mm-hmm. Older people, visitors, the locals, everybody was just chilling, man. There was no... body speeding on the highway. No one was in a rush.
Yes.
And it was like, that's what how life is supposed to feel, man.
Yes.
Like, that's what the way I wanted to feel in retirement, you know.
Like, I wanted to feel like that every day.
Every day.
But I'm not quite there yet. But you're absolutely right about that. It was very chill. And I enjoyed that escape from the hustle and, you know, all of that.
And Shire, what was crazy was, it's like I told you, like the first day there, Shire had a lot, had some nice things planned the first day. It was a travel day for the first half, but we still got to Hawaii. You figure we're going back 3 hours in time, leaving California. So we still had like a nice chunk of the day. So Shire had some things planned. And I was still just in just this tense, you know, we got to get on the plane. I got to make sure everything is this. This has to be scheduled. And we're there and I'm like still tense. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so that first night I wasn't able to like get into the groove of it until the next morning I woke up. Man, you hear the water just crashing. We had a nice Airbnb right on the, I mean, like we literally couldn't have been any closer to the water. Right.
Right.
And you know, it was just like the next morning I was just like, yeah, I was all in. I was all in, you know, brother. You know what I mean? You might as well call me a local at that point. But it was great, Shire. What were some of the highlights for you about the trip?
Yeah, so we visited a national park, which was really nice.
Yeah.
And I would attempt to pronounce it, but I know that I would just butcher it. But it was like a sacred place.
Yeah.
And like if there was a time of war or if you were in conflict with someone, if you were able to make it to this safe place, then that is where you could find refuge.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that even one of the king's wives had fled to that place because she was in a conflict with her husband and she needed safety. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that was just really beautiful. And then also we did a vow renewal.
Yeah.
Which I had been talking about for the last 5 years.
Lord, she'd been talking about this since we hadn't even hit double digits of years yet. She wanted to renew. So yeah, that was great, Sarah. You know, it was kind of a I mean, we had planned the trip, and it was like, you know, we could do this too, you know? And so it was really, really nice, man.
Yeah.
You know, nice location, nice stand-up, you know, ceremony, really authentic ceremony, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? The official...
Officiant,
the young lady who did a great job. She was still like, she was looking at my soul though.
She was. I mean, before the ceremony started, it was like she needed time to herself to like.
She was getting, you know, getting.
I don't know what
up
she
and,
was doing.
You know, just getting. I was like, this thing's for real, y'all. Because we, me, Shire, and the kids, we just kind of clowning.
We're ready to
go.
Fun,
and we, you know, we got our white on looking good. And we just having a good old time. And she's getting focused. And I was like, all right, we got to take this serious, you know.
Yeah. So, but it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It really
beautiful,
was.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. So I was really excited. Glad the kids were able to experience that. I mean, hey, I'm 35 years old. And this is the first time I'm doing it. And they're
Marcus,
doing it at 7.
You're 35.
How old am I, Shire?
You're not. 35.
I'll probably be 37 in a couple of days. Man, I'm tripping. But anyway, just really glad the kids were able to experience this. Hopefully this is... because we're going to move on to the topic, y'all. But one thing I'm realizing as I get older is like, these are the things that you remember when you're on your... I don't want to say when you're about to die, but in your later years, you're going to remember the moments.
The experiences.
The experiences, yeah. Not the stuff. You know what I mean? It's just like, I find myself just reminiscing on stuff even now. Like, man, I remember when the kids, when we went here. And I know that these things are going to flash back when you're, that's all you're going to have is your memories at a certain point in time, man, in life. And so you want to create as many of those as you can. So it was great, Shire. Any last thoughts about the trip? Oh, I got one thing to ask you.
Oh, go ahead.
So we went to dinner and the guy... you know, it's like we all dressed up, suited and booted and stuff. So it's like obvious we did something. So he's like, oh, you guys look nice. Where'd you come from? Oh, we just did a vow renewal and 15 years marriage. And he's like, got any advice? You know, I'm 2 years in. So now I need to ask you, Shire, what's one piece of advice you can give someone listening who trying to get to 15? I mean, 15 ain't, you know, there's people doing more than that. But hey, in this day and age, 15 is something dope. So come on, Shire.
Wow. I mean, that's a big question.
Yeah.
And it's always difficult to answer that because every marriage is so different.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that I think, Shire, is like, as long as you're committed and your partner is committed, y'all can get through pretty much anything. If you're trying to hang on the lovey-dovey side of marriage and the feeling of it, if that's the only thing carrying you, boy, you ain't gonna last very long. You know what I mean?
That's the truth. And I will say that, well, that you are very committed.
Yeah.
You are very committed. Yeah. And I think that some of that comes from just how you were brought up.
Yeah.
And that marriage was so normalized.
Yeah, yeah.
Like... and I mean, I'm committed as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like there are times when, I don't know, maybe I've gone off the deep end. Or I
like,
think
I ain't about to let, like, I'm not about to just let you leave easily kind of thing. Like,
no.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
And, you know, you could poke holes in this theory, but my theory is like, hey, even if we ain't really the best of friends, I'm still going to be climbing into bed and, I ain't going nowhere. So you're going to have to really, you're literally going to have to serve me with papers and have the sheriff come pull me up out. Like,
yes.
Like, I'm one of those type of guys. Like, and it's not some, you staying with me. I just, hey, I'm in it. I'm in it to the end. You know, I'm going down with the shit.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, I think that there are times like when, I mean, I've seen marriage, you know, my parents are not married. But I think that there are definitely times when I would go into self-sabotage mode or, I don't know, maybe my own insecurities. But all right. I think with you, you have really been the grounded of the two of us. And over the years, like, I'm getting there and I've gotten there. You get to a place where you feel like you hit a groove and you kind of feel like secure in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And like I've said I'm sure on this podcast, like some, there would be times where we would like have an argument or disagreement, and I'm just like, no, the ship is sinking.
Yeah.
And then this is over, you know, but Marcus is like, no, we just had a disagreement. Like everything's right. fine.
We'll
you
be
know?
Good.
Like everything's okay.
In the moment, don't feel like that, you know.
I know.
And that's the thing that I said, like every moment doesn't feel like stars and rainbows, you know.
So oh yeah.
You just gotta push through.
And I just feel like we have to really be careful of false narratives when mm-hmm. it comes to marriage. Like finding the perfect person and you know, this person's gonna just light up your day and make you happy
right.
and those things are not necessarily true.
No.
And we create these unrealistic expectations sometimes in our relationships. And then when those expectations are not met, then sometimes relationships have a lot of hardship.
Yes.
And even fail.
Yes. And sometimes those expectations are even unsaid.
Yes.
So the partner, your partner doesn't even know that that's what you're expecting from them. So that's a whole nother thing. But yeah, great point on that. Which
okay. So like back to your question. Yes. Yeah. The young man did ask for us for advice. And it's just like, you don't have the time to hear.
Yeah, we got too much. Yeah, we just
don't have
too
all
much.
The time to
book
hear
a session.
This. Yes, book a session. And, you know, and it's always good to have role models. We have a lot of role models, that's even true. Unspoken, like people who have been role models mm-hmm. to us. And maybe they don't know they've been a role model, mm-hmm. you know, but they are. We have good people around us who are married and even unmarried who have been great examples to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's to 15 more. I'm going to be old by then. Be an old man.
No, you won't. We can still be young and kicking.
Yeah, man. What's crazy, Shari, is to see like the pictures from like 15 years ago to now. Like you don't see it, but man, I'm like, you know, we grown now, so we like.
Yes,
man,
I think we can see it.
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah. You couldn't see it as you know as
at
it
each
went,
day, right?
But man, that's like, man, I look I look 15 years older for sure.
That it's just time, you know.
Yep. Well, we hope you enjoyed that little piece of the sidebar of the conversation. Since this is Black, Married, and Debt Free, we talk about finance, real estate, retiring,
but
marriage.
But we married first. We married,
yeah, we married first.
Well, maybe we Black first.
Right.
I mean, I was Black before I was
there. Right, right. But, Shari, we got to get into this, man.
Because, okay.
Ooh-wee. Man, this market. Let's just talk about 2022. We thought 2020 and 2021 was bad because of the pandemic. Well, 2022 says, hold my beer.
Hold my
because this market is just crazy, man. Like I started the year with a certain amount of my 401k, Shire, and for those of you who don't know, I used my 401k as like one of my large investment vehicles to invest in the stock market. I invest in the S&P 500 index through Vanguard's index 100% in my 401. That's just S&P 500.
Oh, let's pause. He's not telling you to do
I'm
that.
I'm not telling y'all to do that. That's just what I do.
I'm not saying I do that.
Right.
But, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Man, Shire, that thing was at a nice little number to start the year. I had some good years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited about this year. Man, that thing has gone nowhere but down to start the year. I'm at I was at negative 19%.
That's not overall, though, right?
No, just from January to current.
Okay, so that's key to know.
Yes.
That is not overall. Not he's overall. Talking about a specific period of time.
Yep, just for 2022, quite literally. And I knew it was trending towards negative 20%, which it finally did hit, which triggers what we call a bear market, right?
Yes.
And so that brings us to today's topic. There's this article that we came across on NPR.org that says stocks entered a bear market. Here's what that means. So we're gonna give you just a little outlook on what's going on.
Sean? And I also wanted to share a few definitions, and you just gave us one that was just perfect. But I'll give y'all a few more. So a bear market is a term used by Wall Street when an index like the S&P 500 or even an individual stock has fallen 20% or more from a recent high for a sustained period of time. Another definition goes on to say they call a bear an investor. So it says a bear is an investor who expects prices to decline and on this assumption sells a borrowed security or commodity in the hope of buying it back later at a lower price, a speculative transaction called selling short. But basically the bear market is a declining market.
Wow. Yeah, Shire. So, I mean, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but all we could do is talk about is what's going on. Now, there are some individuals, you know, that you may come across your timeline that are staying there. They're still lit. You know, they're still, if they figured out ways to
make money,
to make money, even in spite of
where we're at. No, I'm so right. Sorry, Marcus. Go ahead.
Well, there are some traders that say you can trade and pretty much bet on the I'm not really into trading, y'all. I'm not gonna lie, but you can make money with stocks declining by betting on their decline, if you will, right? Just like you can bet on their ascension. So, and there are individuals, Shire, TJ Maxx is up 7%. So, which is
TJ
crazy.
TJ Maxx? Right? Wait, what's...
I saw that. TJ Maxx is up 7% with all this craziness. So, we know that, yes, there's ways to make money, right? But overall, this shows that we're in a bear market.
And I would go as far to say that people who are saying that they're still, quote unquote, making all this money, like, are they selling a product? Like they must be selling you something, yeah, right? In order to make that prediction, because I'm just, ain't nobody got time for that. Let's just continue.
Yeah. Yeah, Shire. So, I mean, we could kind of go through this article.
Yes.
Before we do, I will say that, like, even when there's a bear market, if you're consistent with your purchase, some people will sell off, right, and get out of it completely. Some people, like a bear investor, like Shire just explained, will sell in hopes
to buy back.
So that means you're kind of trying to time it. And then there's individuals that just consistently just do what they've been doing. You know, we kind of talked about that a few podcasts ago. That more so me and Shire's strategy. Like, we're not going to change our contributions because they're kind of fixed. And we're just going to buy low, you know, because what happens is when the market does go back up, hopefully now you've acquired so many shares that you'll see a really exponential growth, I guess.
Yes. And I'm just going to piggyback on that to say that a person who pulls out of the market, you don't know when that market's going to turn around. Mm-hmm. And what if you wait? What if you're a day short?
Yeah.
What's that? I'm thinking a day late, a dollar short.
Kind of, right?
What if you're a day late? Like, you can't predict what this market is going to do.
Yeah.
And pulling your money out, I mean, there are many times tax implications that go into that. And so we are being consistent, steady. We're staying the course. We're not retiring in the next year or two, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
So we're not too concerned with what's happening, but it is something that is worth exploring.
Yeah. And sorry, I mean, the experts say that you really don't lose until you cash it out. Like right now we're down, but we haven't lost. It's almost like you're playing a game and you're losing, but there's still time on the clock.
Yeah.
See, when the clock goes to double zero and there's no more time is when you cash out. You're pretty much saying, I'm done, I'm out. When really, if you would have just stayed in the game, you probably would have been able to see a rebound at some point. But let's kind of dig in on this, Shire. So let's see here.
Yeah. So this article comes from NPR and it is from May 20th. So just a few days ago.
Yeah.
And it starts off as it was another brutal day on Wall Street. One of the broadest stock market indexes, The S&P 500 entered a bear market during Friday's trading. That means it had fallen a stunning 20% from a recent high in January. That aligns with exactly what you were saying earlier, Marcus.
Yeah.
A bear market is considered an important barometer of investor pessimism and is symbolic of a deep and sustained market sell-off.
Yes.
It is defined as a period in which either a stock or market index drops by 20% or more from a recent high point.
Yeah. So we know the market is based on people's
confidence level.
I don't know why I always forget that. But yeah, based on their confidence level. And with it's kind of like a snowball effect. When it's been low for so long, people start panic selling their shares. And, you know, confidence is just low. When confidence is high, it's kind of crazy. It's like when confidence is high, people begin to buy more because they want to get in on this. So they're just driving it up higher and higher. And that's what we saw happening in 2020 and 2021. More people entered the stock market investing world through apps like Robinhood and, you know, all these simple robo investing apps. You know, people just kind of dove in because it was an up market. Then you start hearing, I talked about this on one of my quick casts. You start hearing NFT and people just start getting creative when the market is hot. It's just like, what can't we do, right? But then when it's down, you hear less and less of that kind of, you know, of the optimism. And it's really based on people's emotion. It's based on, it's not going good. I want to sell. I want to get out of it. And so that continues to drive it down. Also, different things that happen in the economy.
Right.
Make people lose confidence in it. The Fed's doing what over there to the housing market?
The
market
war.
This and da, da, da. You know, so it's just the market is a very complex, interesting world. You know what I mean? But let's see what else this thing says here. So we see very narrow path. This is a quote from Matthew Luzzetti, the chief U.S. economist at the Deutsche Bank. He says, we see a very narrow path forward to achieve a soft landing and can continue to anticipate a mild recession up until around the end of 2023. So we're trending towards a recession, y'all. I mean, we're going to use the R word. We're going to go ahead and use it. We're trending towards a recession. Aside from inflation, a range of uncertainty has clouded the outlook for Wall Street. The ongoing war in Ukraine, like I said, different things happening around the world affected, has led to higher commodity prices worldwide, and new COVID lockdowns in China have led to worries, and that affects the supply chain. You know, how many of y'all been waiting to get something in the mail and it hasn't come yet? Or it's been a delay.
Well, I didn't know China was in a lockdown.
I didn't know that either. That's news to me. Shall we continue? Okay, so among Friday's biggest stock market losers was Deere, which is one of the largest tractor markets in the world. The company said it is paying more for materials and continues to face shortage of parts. Deere shares fell 15%.
Now, that's just one stock, and I'm not sure why they would point out tractor makers.
Right.
I don't think a large percentage of our audience is investing in tractors, but if you are, I'm feeling for you right now.
Yeah. I know. Well, sorry, let's kind of zero in on, I spoke about the S&P 500. So let's talk a little bit about what exactly that is. The S&P 500 is an index that tracks the 500 stocks of mostly the largest U.S. companies. It is a barometer of the health of corporate America and is considered one of the leading indicators of the U.S. economy. So
let's talk about that a little bit. So we're looking at the S&P 500, and it's telling us how well the work, you know, workforces are doing because it's comprised of businesses.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I've heard is that when folks start talking about recession and when they start talking about the stock market, you know, going down, then this sometimes is followed by layoffs at certain companies. Because really, corporations want to bring a profit.
Yes.
And in order to do so, they might start making cuts, or they will use a recession to justify layoffs. And so that's one thing that, you know, to be mindful of. Now, we know that layoffs have been happening in the financial sector because less folks are refinancing due to higher interest rates, and less folks are, you know, are getting loans.
Yeah.
Like people who were easily getting loans, now it is becoming harder. And I know that we shared our experience with a rental property that we completely walked away from because they restructured our mortgage. And we said, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Shire, you bring up some great points. I want to point out some.
And well, before you go there, can I throw one more thing in? Mm-hmm. Now, we talk about people who are selling shares. Now, I don't think that the everyday person is selling their stocks because of what's happening. And I want to point out that this was in an article, CNBC, that talks about the wealthiest 10% of American households now own 89% of all stocks, of all U.S. stocks.
Wow.
And that is a record high. So just 10% of households, the richest households, owns 89% of all U.S. stocks. And look at me. And the rest of us just own the 11%.
Right, right.
You know, and so even with that said, you know, we have some encouraging things to share at the end, but let's go to where you're going.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you kind of touched on the health of the economy really becomes more visible when you look at the some of the major companies that are doing layoffs and employment and different things like that. So our friends, Rich and Regular, posted some clip screenshots from major publications like Wall Street Journal, Business Insider, CBS News, just highlighting some companies that are doing layoffs. So Robinhood, the platform where you can
invest.
Yeah. Robinhood is laying off 9% of its full-time employees. Another article, layoffs hit Wells Fargo home lending unit as mortgage rates climb and originations plummet. Let's see. Carvana fires 2,500 workers.
I didn't even know Carvana had 2,500 workers. Let's just start
there. Let's just pause there real quick.
Yeah, but yeah. So we all know Carvana. I start seeing the ads during the pandemic. Like you can order a car from like a vending machine.
Right. And they'll come pull it up to your house. They'll pull it up to
you. I didn't know they had 2,500, but it says that they have fired. That's a very strong word.
Yeah.
2,500 workers.
Man.
Some via Zoom? Yeah, that's not right.
That's trifling.
Oh, wow. They're using that as, you know, they want to increase your profit margin.
Yes.
So at first it was, you know, we have so many jobs and we can't even give these jobs away.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh, my stock's going down. Okay, some of y'all got to go.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, that is another thing that can happen with a bear market.
Yeah. Now, Shire, you mentioned some positive things.
Yes.
I want to hear those because I'm down. Yes. I'm depressed.
I'm not.
You know, what are some positive and some different things we can talk about to kind of uplift our spirits here?
Yes. So I know that I've mentioned this book before, and obviously we're not being paid to say this, and I think some people don't even like him, but when I knew what we were going to talk about today, I went and got my Tony Robbins Unshakable, Your Financial Freedom Playbook.
Yes, classic.
And so I like that in this book, they talk about bear markets.
Mm.
And so one of the things that said in bold, and I know that something that we would say too, is that bear markets don't last.
Yes.
They don't last.
Point blank, period.
Yes. And it's really nice that they have this chart in the book that literally lays out every single bear market that has happened in U.S. history and the number of days it lasted and the percentage of decline. And so basically, over the last 70 years, there have been 14 bear markets. Wow. And on average, they've lasted about a year. And sometimes it's been as short as a month and a half. So yeah, like 45 days to up to 2 years. But like I said, on average, it lasted about a year. And so when it comes to, that's all I'm going to read from the book. And that was just me paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But when it comes to investing, this is a long-term game. Now, if you're about to retire, okay, you need to get with someone.
Yeah.
You need to get with your financial advisor or whoever it is that, that you work with. But if you have a few years before you retire, this is a long-term game. You stay in this race and we stick it out. You know, that's generally what we intend to do.
Yeah.
The stocks drop. Okay, they go on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And you rack it up.
There you
okay,
go.
While you can.
There you go.
Because history has shown that it will turn around.
Shia, I'm so glad. You really did lift my spirits with that right there. Because just think about it, people. I want you to close your eyes and think about.
Not if you're driving.
Yeah, not if you're driving.
Think you about, took it to church, Marcus. I'm sorry. Close your eyes.
Think about May. What is this? May 22nd?
Yes.
Think about May 22nd, 2020.
Uh-huh.
And think about all the uncertainty going around. The pandemic had been, it was kind of just picking up steam. We was 2 months in at that point. Think of how crazy that was. Now think about May 22, 2021.
All the.
We still in it.
Yeah, we're still in it.
We didn't know when this thing was going to be over or if it was going to be over and how many people it was going to take before it ended. But what where are we at now? We're kind of, not to quote former president, we're turning the corner. We're turning the corner. We're turning the corner, right? But we're kind of, you can see it clearing up, you know. And that's, you know, we back outside, as the young people say. And that, to me, is a good metaphor for even markets like this. It may last a year, it may last some months, but you're always going to come out. It's going to come out. It's going to, the rain is going to stop. No matter how bad the hurricane is, it's always going to be a sunny day down the road somewhere. So just stay the course, you know. And Shia, we always talk about this, you know. We talk so in this finance community, we talk so big and bold when everything is good.
Right. So big and bold.
We boast and we got our chest out. We telling you what you need to be doing and what you ain't doing and why you ain't. And then we get a time like this and we want to panic. No. Let's just breathe. We in this together. Stay consistent. Tighten your belt where you need to tighten. Cut back where you need to cut back.
Right.
You know. If you need to pause, but don't sell. Don't be scared. You know what I mean?
Right. Don't keep your emotions out of
That's
your
good.
Money.
That's good, Shia.
You know,
like you got something else that you want to ask, Shia. What you got?
I just want to say that a lot of us, we're new to investing.
Mm.
Like, we've been doing this, like, you know, less than, you know, five, less than 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
But you have to keep in mind that this is not the first time.
Yes.
And it might not be the last time.
Yes.
It's not the first bear and it's not the last bear.
Yeah. It may be the first bear we're experiencing as new investors.
Yeah.
But it ain't the first one ever.
But it's not. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And that, you have to have that perspective.
Yep.
Right. And stay the course.
Yeah.
Do what you know to do.
Yeah. I love that, Shia. And let's go here before we close.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this and you're like, man, I just tuned in to these guys. And I like what I'm hearing. Shoot, is this a good time to get in it? It doesn't feel like it is. This is actually one of the better times to get
it
in
is.
It, right?
Yeah.
Because it can go nowhere but up, you
right.
know?
I don't know about the tractors, though, because you talked about the tractors.
We don't know about the deer tractors, but, you know, maybe some, and, you know, do your research and figure out what's the best way to get in. Shout out to my younger brother. He called and reached out and said, hey, man, I'm looking to park some money somewhere. Do you know, And so we had a conversation, and he's in the market now. You know, when some people would say, well, is this a good time to get it? Yes. It's always because, like Shira said, things are on sale. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're able to get in and see that growth.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you really can make the bulk of your money. So,
yes, I think the point has been made.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Well, Shira, I had a great time sitting here with you talking on this podcast. We hope you, the listener, enjoyed it as well.
And if you have enjoyed it, let us know. Let us know by leaving us a 5-star review. Yes. And if you leave us a 5-star review, shoot us an email at blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. Let us know that you left a 5-star review, and we will send you a link to our master class called Get Out of Debt and Start Building Wealth. We appreciate all of your support, and we look forward to connecting again on our next episode.
All right, y'all. Till next time. Peace.
Bye.